Last Sunday, November the 21st, in Waukesha, Wisconsin, a 36-year-old black racist and Black Lives Matter activist named Daryl Brooks, ticked off about the verdict in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, purposely plowed his red Ford Escape through all kinds of barricades and started mowing people down at the annual Waukesha Christmas parade, even weaving his car from side to side to run over as many people as he possibly could. All told, 6 people killed, 63 more injured, some of them for the rest of their lives. Gee, have yourself a merry little Christmas. God help us, people, the darkness in our world and in our country and in our own lives. And the question is this morning, is there any light shining at all at Christmas time right now? Well, we're going to start answering that question this morning with an absolute yes. We're going to start a series this morning here at Fox River, a series for Christmas called Christmas Lights, looking at all kinds of lights that God gives us at Christmas time that helps us overcome the darkness. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at where that light ultimately comes to start with, and that's Jesus Christ. And to see that, we turn this morning to John chapter 1 and verses 1 to 5. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it or overcome it. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much for Christmas time. I thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, that He is the light of the world. I pray You just teach us this morning how desperately we need that light in our world and in our own lives. I pray You'd come to us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit. I pray You'd open Your Word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. Back in 2016, Tim and Grace Gay from LaGrangeville, New York, set the Guinness Book of World Records for having the most Christmas lights on a residential property. 601,736 lights caked all over absolutely everything on their 2 acres of ground. And that record still stands to this day. Tim Gay said this, "Our lights are so bright, I think our place can be seen from outer space." But you know what? As bright as that is, the light from Jesus Christ shines even brighter. Because that light can not only be seen from outer space, it can even be seen from before time and space even began. And that light still shines in the darkness of our lives to this day. Our text this morning, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, tells us 3 reasons why there is a light still shining in the darkness of our lives too. And let's look and see what those 3 reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why there is a light is because there is a source for that light. The only source there is. And that's exactly what John is telling us here in verses 1 and 2. And that source is not Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, who had a very shiny nose. It's Jesus Christ. Now, if John chapter 1 verse 1 reminds you of Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, that's because it's supposed to. But the beginning they're talking about is not the beginning of Jesus Christ, because Jesus never had a beginning. There was never a time when Jesus was not. Before anything else was, Jesus was. Now, in the Gospel of John, darkness represents ignorance and sin and evil and judgment. And light represents revelation and understanding and forgiveness and salvation. And the source of that light is Jesus Christ. And why? In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. To the Greeks, Logos was the Word, the logic, the reason, the purpose, the meaning behind all creation. Every scientist from Copernicus to Einstein to Sheldon Cooper on the Big Bang was looking for the real Logos, the unifying principle behind the entire universe. But none of them ever found it. And you know why? Because they didn't look to Jesus Christ. In the beginning, the Word was with God and the Word was God. So Jesus was God. Those Jehovah's Witnesses who come to the front door of your house, in their New World Translation of the Bible, they put an A in front of the word God. The Word was a God, to imply that Jesus was just some God-like being that was created by God. But see, that A is not there in the original Greek because Jesus wasn't created by God. Jesus is God. The Jehovah's Witnesses are just a cult because once you get Jesus wrong, you get everything else wrong too. The Word was with God and the Word was God. There's your Trinity. One God who revealed Himself to us in three persons. The person of the Word in the beginning was with the person of the Father, was with the person of the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. So Jesus is God the Son, coexistent and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And folks, do we realize what that really means? Jesus is God. Jesus is the Logos, the message, the Word of God. Everything that God says to us, He says through Jesus Christ. All the light that God gives to us, He gives us through Jesus Christ. Because Psalm 118, verse 27, Jesus is the Lord who gives us light. Jesus is the light of the world. But the problem is, too many people today don't believe that. Famous theologian Joy Behar on The View says all gods are basically the same. But notice verses 1 and 2. Does it say there in the beginning, Allah and Buddha and Krishna and Cucamonga, the Zulu elephant spirit were with God and was God in the beginning? Does your Bible say that? Because my Bible doesn't say that. Only Jesus is God. Rapper Lil Corey from California claims that he's God who's come from another universe. But that's a joke. Because only Jesus is God. Because He created the universe. Last Sunday on Face the Nation, Dr. Anthony Fauci said this, "My critics are not really criticizing me, they're criticizing science, because I always speak for science." Dr. Fauci thinks he's God too. And folks, this guy has such a cult following. Today, there are Dr. Anthony Fauci coloring books for kids. So your kids can learn how to follow state control too. And for the life of me, I cannot figure out why this guy is worshipped so much. Dr. Fauci supposedly leads America's response to COVID. But what's the result? 775,000 Americans dead? A mental health tsunami in this country? Trillions of dollars in economic losses and lost productivity? Dr. Fauci hasn't seen a real live human patient in 47 years. He doesn't do any research anymore. Is this guy still a real doctor or does he just play one on TV? Dr. Fauci is not the source of the light. Jesus Christ is the source of the light. And boy, do we ever need that light of Jesus Christ when it comes to COVID, when it comes to vaccine mandates. Editorial in the Ottawa newspaper. What few of us fully appreciate, and certainly most of the unvaccinated and those who dismiss masks don't, is that every person who died of COVID was killed by somebody else. Yes, the virus is a killer, but it could not kill anyone without people who are complicit in passing it along. Kill them as dead, as never to return, just as premeditation does. Be a patriot. Get vaccinated. People, let me ask you this morning, do you honestly believe that we unvaccinated people want to die? And that we want our loved ones to die and other people to die too. And don't you think that if wearing a mask and getting vaccinated actually saved other people's lives, that we would do it? But where's the evidence that they really do? All kinds of fully vaccinated people getting COVID and dying from COVID left and right. I could give you statistics till the cows come home. But see, it's all about imposing the will of the state, regardless of the facts and science. You comply, you're a hero. You don't comply, you're scum, and you're guilty of premeditated murder. But see, the unvaccinated people are not putting other people at risk. We are making a risk calculation based on real light and real scientific facts that the vast majority of the people in this country absolutely will not see. Facts about therapeutics. Last October, 71-year-old Sun Ng from Hong Kong was in the States here to celebrate his granddaughter's birthday. And he got COVID. And he got put in Edwards Hospital in Naperville. Now, Edwards Hospital is a fantastic hospital. All kinds of people here from Fox River over the years have gone there and have gotten wonderful care. But But Sun Ng was dying on a ventilator there. And a nurse even told his family, quit trying to save his life and just let him die. Well, the family wanted to try ivermectin, but the hospital refused to give it to him. So the family fought and fought like hell till finally last November the 5th, a judge ordered that an internist be allowed to go in there and give the man ivermectin. And what do you know? By November the 12th, he was breathing without a ventilator. Last October the 27th, Sun Ng went back to his daughter's house completely healed and recovered. But see, ivermectin is just horse medicine, isn't it? Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6, verse 23, if your eyes will not see, how great is your darkness? We need the light of Jesus Christ. We need the light of Jesus Christ when it comes to this new variant of COVID-2. Last Friday, November the 26th, doctors in South Africa discovered the latest variant of the COVID virus and called it Omicron. And oh my goodness, grab your ankles, we're all going to die. The World Health Organization pronounced a major global risk. Buku countries imposed travel restrictions, and the stock market plunged 1,000 points. Then after Omicron was discovered here in the United States, the governor of New York stopped all elective surgeries in hospitals there. Stores on the West Coast started selling out of toilet paper again. And of course, Dr. Fauci had another cow about everybody getting vaccinated. But the question is, why in the world has everybody got their shorts in a knot about this? The Minister of Health of South Africa, Dr. Angelique Coetzee, said this, we are stunned by the world's overreaction and panic response to our announcement of Omicron because it seems to have only mild symptoms, passes very quickly, and even though it appears to be more transmissible than Delta, it seems far less deadly. No one in our country has even gotten sick or has even had to be hospitalized for it yet. And here's the kicker. The first person to test positive for Omicron in South Africa was fully vaccinated. The first person to test positive for Omicron in the United States in San Francisco was fully vaccinated. The first person to test positive in the Midwest and Minnesota was fully vaccinated and boosted. And what that tells you is something that the COVIDians don't want to talk about. The vaccine does not stop you from getting COVID. The vaccine does not stop you from getting COVID. It doesn't stop some people from dying from it. It doesn't stop you from passing it on to other people. And something that people forget, we are never going to get rid of COVID in America or in the world. It's never going to be eradicated because just like the flu, it constantly keeps mutating and changing. That's why they have a different flu shot every year. So even if every single person in this country got fully vaccinated and boosted, what you would have is a country full of fully vaccinated people still passing COVID variants on to each other. Because no amount of vaccines in the world is ever going to wipe it out. Now, Big Pharma's announced they're going to have a vaccine for Omicron virus in about 3 months. But the crazy thing is, doctors in Germany found the number one cause why people get COVID all over the world is vitamin D deficiency. Dr. Fauci takes 8,000 units of vitamin D every single day. So the question is, instead of Big Pharma spending months and months and gazillions of dollars coming up with a different vaccine for every new variant that comes down the road, like a Groundhog Day, why doesn't the federal government and the CDC and the WHO give people vitamin D and hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin to build up everybody's immune system to the point they can fight off every variant that comes along, then hardly anybody in America would need to be vaccinated. Well, maybe because there's no money in that. And maybe because it's all about the vaccines anyway. Because here's the funny thing. The World Economic Forum identified a variant of COVID in South Africa last July already. So why is it being announced now? Well, maybe because Delta is spiking in America because it's wintertime and more people are spending more time with other people inside. So they add the fear of Omicron to the fear of Delta that's already out there. So more people will be scared into getting vaccinated. The FDA is now talking about a fifth and sixth and seventh vaccine. Bill Gates is now pushing for a vaccine for everybody in the world. For what he says is going to be another outbreak of smallpox. What is with these vaccines? 2 weeks ago, the president of Bayer Pharmaceuticals, Stefan Olerich, spilled the beans when he said this. Listen to these words. Ultimately, the mRNA vaccines are not vaccines. They are gene therapy. But we call them vaccines to gain people's trust. Because if we had called them gene therapy, no one would have taken them. It's all about conditioning people to take more and more vaccines. So along with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, we can do family planning and reduce the world's population. Bingo. God help us, people. You talk about Brave New World. Now, am I saying that if you got vaccinated, you committed a sin? Absolutely not. You know what our policy is on vaccines and masks here at Fox River, and it's never going to change. You took that shot in good faith. But what I am saying is this. What in the world do they know that we don't? You talk about darkness. But Christians, here's the good news, because we know something that they don't. And here it is. Jesus is not only God. Jesus is not only with God. Jesus is also with us. And He will never leave us and never forsake us. He is the source of all light, and in Him there is no darkness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. So for crying out loud, quit worrying about Delta and Omicron, because we got the Alpha and the Omega. The first reason why there is still a light is because there is a source. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why there's still a light. Not only because of the source of the light, but also because there's a purpose for the light. And that's exactly what John is saying here in verses 3 and 4. By Him, all things were made. And without Him was nothing made that has been made. In other words, Jesus created everything. Even the sun. Humongous, gargantuan nuclear reactor, 1.3 million times bigger than planet Earth, producing 10,000 billion nuclear bombs of power every single second. And even though it's 93 million miles away, still so hot it can fry an egg on a sidewalk in the summertime. People, Jesus created that instantly, out of nothing. By simply speaking it into being, by the power of His Word, and by the breath of His mouth, just like that. And a trillion more suns just like it. Folks, that's who we're dealing with here. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. So Jesus not only created physical light, He also created spiritual light for the purpose of saving us and giving us life in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And good gravy, do we ever need that light of Jesus Christ right now? Because what was hard before, now with COVID and government interference, is just even harder. Back in 2020, what didn't kill you made you stronger. But now, what doesn't kill you just mutates and changes and just keeps trying to kill you over and over and over and over again. Americans are suffering from COVID PTSD. Because the lockdowns have absolutely destroyed mental health in this country. One out of every four Americans now has a mental disorder. 70 million Americans are severely depressed. One out of three teenagers has an anxiety disorder. For the first time in U.S. history, over 100,000 Americans died of a drug overdose in 1 year. The suicide rate for 12 to 17-year-olds has never been higher. There is not one open bed in any psych ward now within 100 miles of Chicago, and the waiting list at Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago is a year and a half. COVID's dividing up families too. Because if you're not vaccinated, you're Typhoid Mary. No Thanksgiving, no Christmas, no New Year's, no birthday parties, no weddings for you. Because your family believes everything the government tells them. And because they fear COVID even more than they love you. Okay. Do we see how much we need the light of Jesus Christ in our darkness? So let me ask you this morning. What's that darkness in your life right now? Maybe you struggle with weight. And what to my wondering eyes did appear? 10 extra pounds on my hips and my rear. I feel your pain. Maybe it's bad memories. Christmas morning, 1957, I can still hear my mom saying, slow down. And my dad saying, we have to make time. And I can still see the car in our lane coming straight at us. The next thing I remember, I was standing outside of the wreckage, my brother-in-law trying to get the passenger door open to get to my sister. When it got open, she fell out, and all I could see was blood. I then woke up in someone's car and could see Mom and Dad in our car, unconscious. My younger brother was in the car with me, crying with a broken arm. I had a concussion and kept passing out. Next, I remember being at the hospital and being told that my mom was dead. I could see her on a table, but a man who was sweeping the floor 20 minutes later saw her little finger move. And a little more than 3 months later, she finally woke up. There were nine of us in a 1955 Plymouth, hit head-on by a drunk driver at 8 a.m. Christmas morning, 12 miles from Grandma's house. I was 9 years old, and it's not something that any nine-year-old should have to go through. To this day, I don't go anywhere at Christmas time. Maybe that's you, haunted by the ghost of Christmas past. Maybe it's depression. You say, well, Kevin, Christians aren't supposed to get depressed. We're all supposed to be living the happy, clappy, glorious, victorious, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled Christian life. Really? Because some of the greatest people in the Bible struggle with depression. Like Moses and David and Job and Jeremiah and Jesus. Because Isaiah chapter 53 verse 3 says, He was a man of sorrows and familiar with grief. Jesus knows exactly what it's like to deal with depression. I struggle with it too, especially in the winter when the days are shorter and darker. All kinds of famous people today struggle with depression. Like Selena Gomez and Lady Gaga, Terry Bradshaw. The guy won 4 Super Bowls during his NFL career, and today he still gets so depressed he has to have electroshock therapy treatments to pull himself out of it. And I know somebody's thinking, well, Kevin, people who are depressed, they just need to get over it. Would you tell a woman with breast cancer or a man with a brain tumor, just get over it? Because see, if they really could just get over it, they wouldn't be depressed, would they? Well, Kevin, they're just faking being sick. No, what they really do is fake being well. Well, they just feel sad. No, what they really feel is nothing, which is even scarier. But Kevin, it's not manly to talk about depression. Seriously? The picture you see there on the screen is actor Dwayne Johnson. The Rock. The Rock struggles with depression. Because when he was 15 years old, he found his mother in the process of committing suicide and had to save her life. And he has been battling against that trauma ever since. But see, Dwayne Johnson is very openly talking about it with everybody he comes in contact with because he wants to help as many depressed people as he possibly can. Take a look at that picture. Dwayne Johnson's not manly enough. 23-year-old Naomi Osaka is the number 2 female tennis player in the world. 4 Grand Slam titles. Last July won the ESPY Award for Female Athlete of the Year. Got to light the torch at the Summer Olympics last year in Tokyo. Highest paid female athlete in 2020. $37.4 million. Folks, that girl has the world by the tail. And yet last May the 31st, she had to drop out of the French Open because she has been battling depression since she turned pro. Even made a whole Netflix series about it earlier this year. Now, Naomi Osaka's grandparents on her father's side are Christians originally from Haiti. And you know what Naomi Osaka says helps her depression the most? This is what she said. Whenever I visit my grandmother, she shows me a picture of Jesus on the cross and tells me to believe and pray. And even though I'm not really a strong Christian, seeing Jesus on the cross doing that for me does more to relieve my depression than anything else I know. Folks, what lifts us out of the darkness of depression is the light of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this morning, have you turned your depression over to Him? And why do we need to do that? Because the devil is trying to use that depression to take you out. And I know from experience, you've got to attack it. You've got to fight against it. Now, medication can help your brain get to the point where you start processing things right. But the real cure for depression is not medication. It's renewing your mind. Which means get off the phone, quit playing Fortnite, Stop strolling through Instagram, because social media just makes the depression even worse. And you get into the Word of God and you start replacing that negative self-talk and all that wrong stinking thinking with principles from Scripture. Because what is true is not what you say to you in here. What is true is what God says to you in here. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are loved with an everlasting love. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He's called you to do. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength, because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I do that every day. You take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, because as a man thinks, so is he. And I know somebody's hearing this saying, Kevin, do we really have to do that? Not if you don't want to be healed. Depression can happen to everybody, but what lifts us out of that depression is also available to everybody too. It was available to him. Michael Phelps is the greatest competitive swimmer in the history of the whole wide world and the most decorated athlete in the history of the whole wide world. 28 medals over 5 different Olympics, 23 of them gold. More medals than anybody else in Olympic history. So many swimming medals, you'd think the guy had gills. Now, growing up, Michael Phelps was bullied and picked on a lot because his hands and feet were so big, he'd always fall over himself. But when he was 7 years old, his mom forced him to take swimming lessons to build him up some confidence inside. And Michael Phelps very quickly found out the water in the pool, those hands and feet were like canoe paddles. And he started smoking all of his competition. Age 15, he became the youngest person ever to make the U.S. Olympic swim team. Next year, at age 16, he set the world record in the 200-meter butterfly. 2004 Olympics, he won 6 gold medals. 2008, he won 8 more. 2012, he won 6 more, and then decided to retire. But then after he retired, he got bored, and he decided that he would make a comeback. But that year, he also got arrested twice for DUI, and U.S. swimming suspended him for 6 months, and he became a joke on late-night TV. And then when he was sentenced to 18 months probation for those 2 DUI, he got so depressed, he locked himself up in his bedroom in his house. Because he was so depressed and had so many suicidal thoughts, he wanted to end his life. And not even his girlfriend could get him to open the door. And folks, Michael Phelps is a living legend. The guy's the greatest swimmer since Jonah's whale. Has a name and a face known all over the world. Has enough money to live 10 lifetimes. How in the world can somebody like Michael Phelps get to the point where they want to kill themselves? That's what depression does. And if depression can happen to Michael Phelps, it can happen to anybody. Well, finally, one of his friends who was a Christian came by and slid a copy of Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life, under his bedroom door. And regardless of what you think about that book, Michael Phelps read it. And for the first time in his life, he got some light. And for the first time in his life, he realized that there was a God who had a real purpose for his life in Jesus Christ. So Michael Phelps went through 45 days of therapy. Come to find out, his biological father never hardly spent any time with him growing up. And then when Michael Phelps was 9, his bio dad left him and his mom. And so all the competition, all the swimming, all the medal winning was all about trying to win love and approval from his biological father, which never happened. But when Michael Phelps turned to the Lord and saw the light, he realized he could get that love and approval from his heavenly father. And he didn't have to earn it. He didn't have to swim for it or compete for it, because it comes unconditionally through the love of God and what He did for us in Jesus Christ at the cross. So Michael Phelps married his girlfriend. He had 3 kids together. 2016 Olympics in Rio, he won 4 more gold medals. Then retired for good. And even though the depression and the suicidal thoughts still come back once in a while, now Michael Phelps has learned how to fight them off. Using the Word of God and serving Jesus Christ. Because today, Michael Phelps runs a fitness and wellness program for hundreds of thousands of kids online. He speaks all over the place about God and mental health. And he reaches out to other athletes like Naomi Osaka, who struggle with depression too. This is what Michael Phelps said. What I found out is that God in His Word cuts the power that the depression and the suicidal thoughts have over me and reminds me how strong I am and how blessed I am in the Lord. God may not always take all the darkness away, but if we give Him the chance, He will overwhelm it with His light and use it for good things, just like He does in my life. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. Depression and negative suicidal thoughts are real. But just like with Michael Phelps, the sooner you admit to him and turn him over to Jesus Christ and start using the light of the Holy Spirit and the light of God's Word to replace those thoughts and lift yourself up, the sooner you can start defeating them and being set free. The purpose of Jesus Christ is to give you light and life. So today, you receive that light of Jesus Christ and start living that life of freedom that He's called you to for His glory. The second reason why there is a light is because there is a purpose for the light. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why there is a light. Not only because there's a source for that light, not only because there's a purpose for that light, but third, because of the power of that light. The power that it has over darkness. And that's exactly what John is talking about here in verse 5. Because that light isn't just palaver. Like, don't worry, be happy. Or we text you a Merry Xmas. Or let's go Brandon. That light is the presence of the glory, Shekinah glory of Almighty God to do all things. So even though the light is at war with the darkness, the light is so strong it's like the New England Patriots taking on the little sisters of the poor. All the darkness in the world can't put out even a little bit of light. And even a little bit of light shines through all the darkness of the world. And folks, we need to remember that because have you noticed how dark it's getting now? In Ireland right now, police are shooting at people who are protesting mandatory vaccinations. In India, the unvaccinated can't even buy food anymore. In Austria, unvaccinated people are being fined $8,000 every time they're caught by police outside of their house without a vaccine passport. Germany now wants to start putting unvaccinated people in prison. Do we see what's coming? Do we see how dark it's getting? Oxford High School outside of Detroit, Michigan, another school shooting, 4 more students dead. See how dark it's getting? All over America, shoplifters are ripping off stores for hundreds of thousands of dollars in loot. And the police are not allowed to stop them because city councils have determined arresting shoplifters is racist. Criminalizing poverty, they call it. The Salvation Army has now gone woke, telling all white Christians they're racist just because they're white. And you need to apologize for your white supremacy and your white privilege. Christian ministries that have served the light of Jesus Christ for hundreds of years are now going dark. See how dark it's getting? This past week at the Supreme Court, baby killers tried to turn down that Mississippi law that bans abortion after 15 weeks. You know what an unborn baby looks like at 15 weeks? Because the left doesn't want you to know. You see it right there. About the size of an apple. And even Mr. Magoo can tell you, that's not just a gob of tissue, it's a baby human being. And the left is scared to death that the court is going to use this case to overturn Roe versus Wade. Because evidently, if we don't keep slaughtering babies like veal, Earth is going to spin off its axis and fly into a black hole. Because even if Roe versus Wade was overturned, the issue of abortion just goes back to individual states decided on a state-by-state basis, just like it was before 1973. Which means here in Illinois, with Governor J.B. Pritzker, Illinois is still the baby killer capital of America. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who's nothing but a leftist political hack, said this: if Roe versus Wade is overturned, will this institution survive the stench that this creates in the public perception that the Constitution and its reading are just political acts, blah, blah, blah? No. The real question is this: can America possibly survive the judgment of God that's coming for murdering 65 million innocent unborn babies since 1973? Do we see how dark it's getting out there right now? But here's the good news. As dark as it is, there is a light that is still shining. in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. This year for the holidays, Hershey's Candy is taking their Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and turning them into full-size 9-inch chocolate peanut butter pies. Holy cow, people, let there be light. Don't tell me there's not a light shining in the darkness. Merry Christmas to me. Last July the 9th, Clark County, Maryland, on Karen Road, 2 a.m., pitch black. 22-year-old Brianna Morissette lost control of her car and crashed through a guardrail and fell 125 feet down, all the way down to the bottom of a ravine. And as she went through that rail, she just started praying, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Car came to rest on its side. Engine was dead. No lights on at all. And Brianna Morissette had rolled in such a way that she was hanging sideways, suspended only by the seatbelt wrapped super tight twice around her neck, slowly choking her to death. Folks, she was dying, unconscious, with no lights at all on that vehicle to let anybody know that she was even down there. That's if anybody even came down that road at 2 a.m. But then what do you know? Less than 2 minutes later, an EMT named William Gesson, who for some unknown reason, took a wrong turn on that road on his way home. Pitch black except for his headlights, when all of a sudden he sees a literal pillar of light, like right out of the Old Testament, come down out of the sky, down into the bottom of that ravine. So he stopped his car, got out, looked down there, saw Brianna Morissette's car, raced down there, and cut that seatbelt off from around her neck just seconds before she was going to die. And the very nanosecond that that 22-year-old girl started breathing again, that pillar of light disappeared just like that. William Gesson said this, "It was just so unreal. But taking that wrong turn and then that light, I know it was a supernatural light from God leading me to her so the Lord could use me to save her life." Jesus Christ really is the light. Folks, I don't care how dark, I don't care how hopeless, I don't care how helpless, I don't care how impossible your situation may be. You cry out to Jesus Christ, some way, somehow, there will be a light. There will be a light sent from Jesus Christ into the darkness of your life. And the darkness cannot and will not overcome it. And you know what, Christians? We know this going in. We know ahead of time that some way, somehow, we always win, even before the darkness comes. So the question is, when the darkness does come, why do we walk around looking like we've been baptized in pickle juice and just shout old Yeller? For crying out loud, even dead people in the funeral home have smiles on their faces. Romans chapter 12, verse 12, rejoice in hope. So there's some people listening to the sermon right now, you need to hear this. In your darkness, don't you dare kill yourself. Because you have thought about it, haven't you? And you need to know those thoughts are not coming from God. They're coming from the devil who has come to steal and kill and destroy you. Everything that God created, He pronounced very good, including your life. And because God created you, your life does not belong to you. It belongs to Him. And you have no right whatsoever to take something that doesn't belong to you. Your life ain't over till God says it's over. And the God who said, let there be light in the darkness of creation is this close right now to saying, let there be light in your situation and light up your darkness too. But if you take yourself out and you don't give Him a chance, you've got no hope at all. I know it's really dark where you're at right now. I know it. I know what it's like. But listen to me. There is always, 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 always a light shining in that darkness. I don't care how dark it may be. Right now, the darkest place anywhere on the surface of the earth, as measured by astronomers for how little light there is for stargazing, is a remote volcanic mountain in the Canary Islands, home of the Roque de los Muchachos Observatory and the biggest Isaac Newton telescope anywhere in the world. And astronomers from all over the planet flock there because 9 nights out of 10 it is so dark you can barely see your hand in front of your own face. But even with all that darkness, there is a light from a naval installation about 40 miles away that lights up the sky 2% brightness. So as dark as it is, even there, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. The darkest place anywhere on planet Earth is also the deepest place anywhere on planet Earth. A hole in the bottom of the ocean floor called the Challenger Deep at the southern end of the Mariana Trench, separating two major tectonic plates southwest of Guam. The Challenger Deep is 36,871 feet deep, almost 7 miles down. So deep, if you put Mount Everest on the bottom of the ocean floor there, it would still be 7,000 feet underwater. So deep down, only three human beings have ever been to the bottom in specialized subs, because the pressure down there, 8 tons per square inch, would literally instantly turn human beings into mush. So far deep down, the water down there is barely above freezing, and it's as dark as the dark side of the moon. You think it's dark where you're at right now? And here's the incredible thing. As dark and cold as it is, there's still living things down there. Now, because of the darkness, most of the living things don't even have eyes, because there's hardly anything to see. But some of the things that do have eyes are those, sea cucumbers. And God has given them the gift of bioluminescence so they can create light in their own bodies so they can glow. So in the darkness, they can locate each other and reproduce. Light and life to all He brings. Now, we can't see that light, but God can. How many of y'all realize there's a light in the darkness even when we can't see it? So even there, in the deepest, darkest place on planet Earth, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The deepest, darkest place in the entire universe is a patch of space in the northern sky, 1 billion light years across, 700 million light years away from here, near the constellation Boötes. So it's called the Boötes Void. Gazillions and gazillions of miles of black, empty space, referred to as the Great Nothing, because except for 60 puny little galaxies discovered by the Hubble telescope there back in 1995, there is absolutely nothing there. You think it's dark where you're at? You don't know what darkness is. The darkest place in the entire universe, 700 million light years away, in a void 1 billion light years across, empty of almost absolutely everything. The emptiest place in the universe except for the hearts of people who don't want anything to do with Jesus. But here's the incredible thing. Even there, even in the Boötes Void, there's a light. And it's not light coming from those 60 puny galaxies either. Back in 2019, astronomers at Arizona National Observatory took pictures of deep space going all the way out to 4 billion light years away. And with a special computer program, they were able to take out of those pictures every possible known source of light that there was. All the stars, all the galaxies, even stars and galaxies that hadn't been discovered yet showed up in the map. And you know what they saw in those pictures? Even when they took out every single possible source of natural light there was still light there. And not just in the Boötes Void, but all throughout the entire universe, like a Christmas tree. Where in the world is that light coming from? A spokesman for the observatory said this: in spite of all of our calculations and programs, and we tried everything we could think of, we have determined that light can't be from any natural source. We just can't figure out where that light all throughout the universe is coming from. I know where it's coming from. It's coming from Jesus Christ. Because John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus is the light of the world and causes light to shine into darkness. And Psalm 139, verses 11 and 12, Jesus is so great and so awesome and so incredible and so powerful and so bright, even the darkness is as light to Him. So even in the deepest, darkest place in the entire universe, the light still shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome it. People, in every darkness there is a light. Always has been, is now, and always will be. World without end. Amen. and amen. There's people sitting in this church right now. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. And there is darkness in your life. And that darkness is very real and it's very powerful. But that darkness is not more powerful than the light. Because that light isn't just a thing, it's a person. That light is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created all things and who can do all things to this day. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, laid all the glory of heaven aside and humbled Himself and came down to this earth in human form so He could die on a cross to pay the price for our sin and then rise from the dead to give salvation to absolutely anybody who turns to Him in repentance and faith. And today, you can have that. Because I don't care what the darkness is in your life. I don't care what the darkness has been like in your life before. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many times you've done it. I don't care how many times you did it. I don't care who you did it to or who you did it with. There is light for the darkness in your life. So today, if you confess your sins to God and put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior, you can have that light. And the light of the salvation of Jesus Christ will shine in the darkness, and the darkness cannot and will not overcome it. There's people here today, you are Christians, you are believers, but you got darkness in your life too. What is that darkness? Maybe it's with your family. Maybe you've got family members rejecting you because you haven't been vaccinated. Maybe it's problems in your marriage. Maybe it's problems with your kids or your grandkids. Maybe you lost somebody very close to you and the grief has never gone away and Christmas time just makes it worse. Maybe it's problems with your finances. Maybe it's problems with your job. Maybe you are heartsick over what's happening here in the state of Illinois. Maybe you can't sleep at night because of the destruction that's happening to your country. You need to remember something. When God created light, He set boundaries for the darkness. And those boundaries are still in place, which means the darkness cannot go where God says it cannot go. So all your love, all your hope, all your joy, all your peace, all your life is still there in spite of the darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot and will not overcome it. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank You so much for the light. We come to You today, Lord. There have so many things in our lives that we need help with, so many things that we struggle with. I pray for those of us here who do deal with depression, who do deal with darkness, bad memories, grief, rejection from our own families. Just thank You, Lord, that light is still shining. Thank You, Lord, that You made Yourself known to us. You revealed Yourself to us, to our hearts, and we made that decision and got saved. I pray for somebody listening to the sermon right now who doesn't know that light, or that they would come to know You today. I pray, Lord, as You see us through this Christmas season, we're going to hear about a lot more sad things. I pray, Lord, that we would always remember You will always shine that light in our darkness. Look for it. All these things we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.